Verge.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hi, my name is Olexis Bowles. I am from a small town of Farmville, Virginia. I now reside in Rockville, Maryland, and I will be sharing you guys my testimony for today. You can find me on social media on Twitter, Lexi Baby. It's spelled LexieBabi with four E's. You can find me on IG, also Lexi Baby. And YouTube is also Lexi Baby, but it's Lexi and it's three E's, Baby, Babi, and three E's as well. And so my testimony I'm going to tell you guys about is how God brought me through the hardships after losing my cousin. He was my cousin, but we were so close that, like, he was really my brother. And that was the closest person I was at that time. So all this occurred back in May of 2015. So the whole week leading up to his passing, I was, like, really sick. It was, like, May 1st I got really sick before the week that I got sick again. And I texted him that night. He never responded, which is really weird for him because we text all the time. But he responded the next morning, totally ignoring what I said, but he responded to the message before what I said. So I was like, I didn't pay much attention to it. And so I think I stayed with him that whole week, which is odd because I don't really stay with people, but I was with him like that entire week. And so May 13th, I want to believe, is when we first was together, starting that whole week. That Saturday when he was leaving, because he was going to Myrtle Beach for bike week, and he was telling me how excited he was and what he was about to do. And so I went to see him Saturday, but I got sick at work right before, which it was like the sick that I was May 1st. And so I was like, oh, something's really not right. Something's not sitting well with me. And so I went to see him anyway, and something went through my mind. It was like, hey, Lex, like, this is the last time you're going to see your brother. Like, this is the last time you're going to take a picture with him, and all these crazy things in my mind. And so I was like, oh, no, like, to myself, like, be quiet. Like, get that out of your head. Your brother's coming back. Like, be quiet. And so I take the picture and, you know, going about my day. We're talking, laughing, you know, at his sister's birthday party. And so it's time for me to go back to work because I'm off my lunch break. And so he walks me to my car. He gives me the longest hug ever. Like, it really felt like a goodbye hug. He gave me the longest hug. And so as he's, like, walking up the hill, he glances back at me. And I, like, blow him a kiss because I'm about to, like, go back to work. And he's about to go on his journey. And so I get in my car. And, like, a range of emotions wash over me. Like, I really just wanted to break down in my car. And I don't know what was, like, pulling at all these emotions. Like, my brother was alive and well at this point. I could physically see him. He was there with me. But something was not sitting with me after, like, that voice went through my head saying that was the last time that I was going to see him. So I go to work, finish as normal, go home. You know, I'm texting him all night after he gets to where he's going. And, like, I fall asleep first, which I never fall asleep. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And when I woke up to a phone call at 12 a.m., I knew what had happened. Like, I knew my brother was gone. I knew that's what it was. And so I looked at my phone, and I just kept ignoring everyone's calls and going back to sleep. So finally, I'm like, okay, Lex, like, you have to face reality. Like, you know what's happening, but you need to hear it. And that was the day that I fell deep down into this dark hole. I answered the phone, and I was like, hey, Lex, like, this is the hardest thing I'm ever going to have to tell you. Like, your brother was in a motorcycle accident, and he didn't survive. It just really broke my heart. Like, I just felt like life for me at that point was over. It was over for me. Like, I knew it was coming, but hearing it was a totally different thing. So I hadn't even graduated high school yet. So my brother missed all that. Fast forward to me going, I went to Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia for my undergrad. And I, for the first semester, I didn't do anything but go to class and sleep. I lost 15 pounds. I looked sick. Going back to look at my pictures, I was not looking well at all. A couple of my friends at ODU had joined a gospel choir. And, you know, I still wasn't up to joining the choir. I didn't feel like I needed to. But then I kept going to their rehearsals and I kept feeling like God pulling me. I started going to church with one of my friends. I went to church back home, but when I got back to school, I really wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And so I started going to church with one of my friends, and I was filled that day. Like, I was crying, hands raised, like, something like that has never happened to me. I was crying, just like, time was gone. Like, by the time we finished out of worship, I knew it was like 2 o'clock, and we got there like 10 or 11. I don't know, time just went by really fast with me just being in God's presence. And that was the first break of me, like, stepping into who God has now called me to be. And so I started going to the choir rehearsals more. I joined the choir. The choir director, we got a really special bond. Like, and so I joined his church under watch care. There I grew. Like, I would be on my face just about in services. Like, God would be completely speaking to me exactly what I'm going through. The words that I needed, it would be said through, whether it was the worship, whether it was the music, whether it was the preacher, or someone even saying something to me after church. Like, things just started coming together for me. I found my new purpose. Like, I went into school thinking I was going to do nursing. I ended up changing my major to recreational therapy. So, like, it's okay for your path to be changed for the better. I am now a caseflow manager of 12 individuals with disabilities. And so, like, with recreational therapy, it's basically, like, reintegrating everyone into the community, but making them as independent as possible. And so that's what I'm doing with my clients now. And now, since I've gotten to Maryland, like, I went through another isolation period of being by myself, but still, like, in my purpose of what God had called me to do. Like, sometimes you have to be isolated so you can be elevated. So I finally found one new friend in March of 2019, and that became like one of my best friends. And then he left, and then I met another one of his friends through him, where I started going to Bible studies on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I went to church on Sundays when I could. But so many people have been speaking into me about my purpose and everything I'm doing, and I just know that God will literally take you through so much just so you can get to where he needs you to be. Like, God doesn't want to break us, but gracefully broken is the word I would use. Like, yes, I was down, but God was using that downness to pull me closer to him. Because God knew if I didn't go through something, you don't know how to really worship God when you're not going through something. So, like, you just have to stay the course, keep your head lifted. Like, just make sure your eyes are facing God, and just that, allow him to direct your steps. Like, just pray. That's all I do. Pray and just be in your word. Just continue to seek God through everything, because he will make a way for you. Like, he's so amazing. So I just want to thank God for my valleys, because now I can see my mountains and sitting on top of my mountains and being great. So I just want to tell you guys to start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be. I promise you. God bless you all, and have a great rest of your day.
Hey, what's up, Scriptures and Stories fam? I got my good friend John Jorgensen now. We're here in Colorado, and I just met him in person, but he's been impacting my life and many others. I know my wife has seen his videos. My team have especially, you know, come across his videos, and we're like, okay, we gotta pump this on our platforms and things like that. So he's traveling and speaking and doing amazing things like that. But more importantly, he's been an incredible husband to his wife, and I've heard stories already, and I'm super excited to have you on, John. What's up, bro?
Not much, Rashawn. I appreciate you having me on here. I really do. And it's been really good to get to know you. It honestly has. I'm not just saying it because the mic is on. It's been really awesome. Really awesome getting to know you. And oh man, just hear your story. We heard this guy's story last night. Probably the listeners have heard a lot of it. Just blown away, man. Just really blown away.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate that. I mean, yeah, it's all God's glory, and you know, just like we're about to dig into your story a bit, and I'm excited to hear it. I've heard bits and pieces of it. You know, as I said, I've been following your YouTube for some years now, and you are one of the people who impacted me in a huge way through your content, your spoken word. And I know as people are listening now, hey, you get ready to go to YouTube after this, because I'm sure at the end we'll share where they can find you and stuff. But you want to be able to go and really hear what the Lord's laid on his heart, because a lot of it deals with identity. And I'm so thankful because that message is such needed right now in our generation, our culture. So thank you for all that you're doing, bro. And let's really dig in real quick. Let's go back to the John before John right now. You weren't always like, you know, the author, the speaker, you know, the spoken word artist, you know, a part of, you know, the Willow Creek Association, all these different things that God has blessed you with and anointed you to do. You weren't always there. Will you share a little bit about your past, your upbringing and things like that, bro?
Yeah.
So we get to know you more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a Midwest kid through and through. That means I probably will say, ooh, if we run into each other accidentally, that means I dip my pizza in ranch dressing and I pretty much dip everything else in ranch dressing, you know? So I was born outside of Detroit, grew up there for a little bit, but mainly my home has pretty much always been the city of Chicago. Nice. Grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, myself, my parents, and my little sister. She's about 18 months younger than me. Mm. I grew up in a moral home more than I would say I grew up in necessarily a Christian home. I grew up in your average white middle class, you know, family with two kids and a dog. So when we went to church, that was because that's what an average white middle class family with two kids and a dog does.
Yes. Yeah.
We went, you know, to a Methodist church growing up, but that's just because that's sort of where my mom had gone growing up. But when I say we went maybe once a month. We went on Easter, definitely on Christmas, that sort of thing. Yeah. It was the tradition of white Americans, you know. In my home growing up, I was given the narrative very, very early on that John is ahead of his age. He's mature for his age.
Wow.
I was born in the hospital at 11 pounds, 11 ounces. I could lift my head and nearly sit up on the day that I was born.
What?
So literally from the day I was born.
You were stud.
Literally. But that was the narrative. That was kind of the narrative. Literally from the day I was born, I was told and said, you're ahead of the other people your age.
Wow.
You're beyond your age. So that led to me performing well in pretty much anything I sort of set my hand to. Growing up, whether it was sports, because I was just bigger than everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you like when you're bigger than everyone else as a kid and you're playing sports, you're going to succeed.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Because you're just bigger, you know? And then that extended into other things, performing and, you know, acting in musicals and singing and dancing. That was sort of this like other side of myself that I found a lot of success in. I did decently well in school. Really the only thing that I found that I was terrible at growing up was like first person shooter video games.
Mm.
Pretty terrible at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, but other than that, I honestly don't say it to brag. I think part of it was really that was the narrative that my parents gave me was like, John is a high performer. John achieves. John does well in everything that he does. And that, I think that's a narrative that I still carry to this day.
But, so good.
Yeah. So then, you know, moving into high school, I was still into sports, still into theater, and my mom, because she wanted me to be a well-rounded kid, she sort of forced me into both. And I went to this when I was 13 years old, right before high school. I would go to this summer Christian theater camp. It's like all the crazy, slightly dangerous games that you play at a Christian summer camp, all the worship that you get at a Christian summer camp, but there's theater kids there.
Oh.
So it's even more crazy, perhaps. and that at that camp on the final night, there was a guy named Ronnie. He got up on stage and he just simply told us the story of the gospel, you know?
Okay.
Simply talked about Jesus. And even though I'd been in church, been confirmed in the Methodist church, that was really the first time that that message and that story was communicated in a way that it stuck with me on a personal level. And
so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still remember that to
this day. I remember what I did was I was like weeping my eyes out in that room. I left that room and I went out to this bench on this college campus outside of the chapel where we were meeting. And I laid down and Ronnie had talked about, like, if you want to give your life over to Jesus, there's a simple prayer. I didn't pray the prayer in the room, but I went out on that bench. I laid down. I looked up into the night sky. And the thought that I had was, I've always wanted God in my life. I just never realized that God wanted me to. And that's what it was. This idea that there's a God out there. Like, who doesn't want, like, God in their life? But the message of Jesus is that God actually wants to be with you too.
That he's pursuing you.
Yeah, and for me as like a 13-year-old kid who, you know, who was just sort of like lost and confused a little bit, like that meant everything. So I made that decision that night, you know, to start following Jesus.
I'm so glad you did it, bro.
Me too.
Because you're right here with me now. Yes. I get to experience the fruits of it. Yeah, like, literally. Yeah.
And I would love to tell you, like, you know, my life was radically changed forever after that night. But the reality is I'm not sure it, I think my identity was changed and my sort of place from an eternal perspective was changed, but my actions certainly didn't change. A lot of my life didn't change because then I go into high school and I continued to just live in that performance mentality of perform at all costs, high achieving. And that's when I started to get into a little trouble. There were some patterns and some habits in my life.
Yeah.
Specifically just with lust and lying and deceit.
Wow.
But because I was a high performer, I could put on that mask, you know?
And you know what blows my mind real quick? I've been hearing performer all throughout your life. But this is what blew my mind about you yesterday. You're wearing this amazing shirt, which I wish was out there on stock so I can buy one or a few for my whole community group or something. But it said presence over performance, you know, presence, line, and then performance underneath. Like, wow, how did that, like, when did that become real for you?
Yeah, so that kind of is a mantra that was born a little bit later in my story because for me it was like performance has been a huge theme in my life, performing and performing well. And in high school a lot, that was leading to a lot of outwardly sinful deceit when it came to sexual sin or just lying to my parents and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And towards the end of my time in high school, God really started to deal with a lot of that and started to bring a lot of that out into the light and said, John, you don't need to perform anymore. If you're struggling, that's okay. There's people who are still going to be there, even if you're not the best anymore. Even if you screw up, there's still people who are going to be there and love you. And then,
so good.
Yeah. God. And so as God started to root some of that behavior, then he started working on my heart behind it.
And that's what he typically does.
Exactly. it was like, no. So my performance wasn't, I'm deceiving everyone anymore in terms of my actions. It was now my performance was based in my own pride.
Wow.
Or it was, pursuing this as I started to do a little bit more public ministry, the YouTube stuff started taking off. I started getting invited to speak. I think I got caught up in this machine a little bit of, hey, I need to be the next this person.
Got it.
I need to be the big conference speaker. Yeah. I need to be this. I need to be that. And about 2 years ago, my pastor kind of sat me down and just sort of called that out in me of like, John, you're kind of just performing again. You know, you're not really being present with people when you're on stage, none of it. It's just like you're putting on this this really good performance as like the charismatic Christian communicator guy.
Oh.
But where you got to strip all that back.
So good.
You got to let people see your heart. And so that's become a huge mantra for me. Because performance is an idol, and it's what I turn to when I get insecure, and when I start comparing, and when I start striving. But instead, I want to the point is not to perform well for God. The point is to be present with God and present with others.
And wow! So, and then in turn, you will perform. Your fruits will, you know, show.
I think so. Show everything. I think so. And so that's the work that I think God is sort of continually doing in me, is to strip back the performer.
Got it.
And to.
That's so awesome.
To cultivate someone who's just in love with just being present and that being enough.
Yeah. You know? Love it, John. Thanks for sharing that. I know for myself, I've struggled a lot with people pleasing. You know, I would look for acceptance all my life, you know, trying to prove a point. And I'm exactly where you were in a way. I wanted to perform on the football field. I wanted to perform as an Army officer, you know, be the best of the best. And yeah, God has a way of, one, humbling us, you know, so we can see that, hey, he's the one that's worthy of all our praise and, you know, being pleasing to him versus, you know, the world. Like, So, yeah, that's been a big thing for me. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Of course, man. Yeah.
Now, what's some advice you'll give for someone who's maybe struggling with that? Just literally practical steps. Maybe it's like adding it to your prayer. You know, being thankful for who you are. Maybe it's an identity thing, or
that's good. That's really good. I think for me, it has been getting really practical with recognizing the environments and the situations where that performer starts to come out. You know, for me, it comes out a lot in environments like this.
Yeah,
you know, we're here. We're here this week with just some like really amazing world-changing influential guys.
Yeah.
And honestly, the desire that comes up in me is to perform here.
Yeah.
And to perform meaning I got to measure up to everything that they're doing.
So true.
And in order to do that, I got to mask anything that's insecure or anything that is not totally polished. You know?
Woo.
And just recognizing that like that's an environment where I struggle to do that. I also struggle to do that anytime I step on stage to teach or to preach.
Wow.
You know? And so before I enter into that space, I try and do my best to remind myself of that mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
God,
sure.
It's presence over performance.
Over performance. And we've been seeing that even throughout you know, this week. When God's presence shows up, when we invite him and we're vulnerable and open to one another, we've seen God move in big ways. We've been crying together. Mm. We've been laughing together. But ultimately, we've seen the unity that comes out of just being willing and open with each other.
100%. You know? I was really convicted on this about a year and a half ago. I got off stage after teaching at a youth conference and I just during worship, I'm just sort of trying to focus in on God. And I just felt this thing in my heart where God was like, John, you give a really great sermon.
Mm.
John, that was a really clever talk.
Wow.
You hit all your points. You totally missed me though.
What?
You totally missed me up there.
Wow.
You totally missed it. And I'm like, man, I never want that to happen.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I never want to hit all my points, but completely miss the point.
Ooh, I felt that.
Of even being there, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, whenever I recognize I'm stepping into an environment where that's going to be a temptation for me,
yeah,
just the mantra, presence over performance. Presence over performance.
So awesome. Thank you, John, for that.
Let's take a quick break to hear from a sponsor.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel in their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring today's podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. First 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through meaningful devotional thoughts, scripture, worship, and prayer. Sign up today and get the first 15 email devotional sent directly to your inbox. Go to first15.org. That's first15.org. You can also start your day off with the First 15 devotional podcast. You can sign up there in your favorite podcasting app. Now back to today's show.
Now, real quick, let's talk marriage real quick.
Yeah.
You've been highlighting your bride so much. I'm like, dude, this dude's encouraging me to like just go love on my wife even more. Like, you've been an expression of God's heart for us to be better husbands here, big time. Because more than you talk about your accomplishments, reaching, you know, your videos have been viewed 20 million times. You've been traveling, speaking, you know, but you speak about your wife more than any, like, I mean, outside of God, of course. But you speak about your wife.
I might speak about her even more than God. Let's be honest.
Yay.
Y'all can pray for me.
True, too. Yeah. But it's amazing to see that for a man struggling with his marriage right now, or, you know, a guy's courting a young lady, or, you know, that's totally different things. Yeah. But what are ways you, what's some advice you'll give to a young man? Well, specifically with his wife, like struggling with his wife.
So I've been married a little over 4 years now. And the first advice I always give to people when it comes to marriage is never take marriage advice from a guy who's only been married 4 years. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. But what I can share is maybe a little bit of my experience and lesson, and some lessons that I've learned that really apply, that I've applied, I think, well to my marriage, or I try to apply well.
Mm.
And all of these are both individual, and they all connect together as well. One thing being just communication.
Yeah, communication.
Another being humility.
Yes.
And another being patience.
Wow.
And when I and Erin, my wife, when we both can do our best to combine those things,
yeah,
in our interactions, especially in the moments of conflict and the moments of tension, that's when we have seen the most growth,
yeah,
in our relationship, in our trust for one another, and in our love for one another. I think it's making the decision,
okay,
to be patient when I don't feel like being patient.
Mm.
It's making the decision to humble myself, or making the decision to communicate, even when all I want to do is just go in the other room and be resentful, and wait it out.
Wow.
And then we never talk about it again because we're married, so it's going to be fine. You know?
True, true.
So it's about those decisions.
I got convicted from that. I just felt that because at times I'm so quick, like when we're arguing. Of course, you know, I try to go get some time away just to pause, pray, ponder,
necessary,
and then respond to the situation. But no, what you're saying is so true, because if I'm not careful when I'm getting my time away, I will sometimes put aside the reality that I need to go address the problem.
Mm.
You know, I need to actually go back and not think, hey, we're married, so I'll be with her 2 years from now.
Yeah.
And we can do it later. But instead of sweeping underneath the rug, like be like, hey, honey, give me a hug.
Yeah.
And let's talk.
And there's also a real balance to it. Because for me, as a somewhat typical guy, I want to like hunker down and fix it right away. But that's where the patience comes in.
Yes.
That's where patience and humility to know I actually can't fix this on my own.
True.
We need to work together, and we need to invite God into this, and we, all of us together, are going to work to reconcile whatever the thing is that's going on. So,
love it. And let me just share with you real quick. I seen your humility this weekend, believe it or not, and I'll never forget it. But when we were at the airport, Denver airport, I ran down to grab our coffees, right? And as I'm coming off the elevator, I'm having such a tough time, like, holding all these coffees. So I bust through the door, the glass door, and John's way across the field. He's way across, like, this area that's open outside of the Denver airport. He's, like, maybe 40 yards away or something. I don't know how far it was. But anyways, I was so far off, but he was intentional. He seen me way across there walking. He like runs over there and comes, grabs the coffee and helps me. So like, that's so huge. Your humility, you made a stamp on my heart with that, bro. And like, that was, I still can't like believe it. That never really happens, especially like, Yeah, it just blew my mind, bro. Your humility, because you just ran across the thing to help me. Like, well, I'm like, seriously?
What you failed to mention there, Rashawn, is that you went and bought the copies all of us.
But still, brother. Hey, it's the facts that count. Yeah, like,
I appreciate that.
I really appreciate you, man. The example you've been to me. So let's share real quick. Just anything, like someone's out there right now, and they're dealing with identity issues. And I got one more question, because I know, you know, we got to get back to it. And
like, I'm here. Okay, this is good.
This is a retreat.
This is a retreat. I got no schedule.
Perfect. So someone's struggling with identity issues, and, you know, they're getting into the Word, but, you know, it doesn't feel like, you know, God is really speaking to them. Is there anything specific that could remind them every single day, or ways they can practically be rooted in who they truly are in Christ that you've discovered over the time as you've, you know, not only shared this message, but now you're living this message out of being in God's presence? Will you, just share a little bit about, like, if you're struggling with this, here's some practical things you can do.
Well, number one, selfish plug, you can go to my YouTube channel. Several videos.
Nice. That's so true,
I'm
though.
I'm kidding. But, you know, for me, and I don't know if this is exactly where you sort of want to go with this, but for me, And again, this is very personal to me, connecting it back to my sort of idol of performance. A story that I continually turn to, and that was just brought to sort of new light to me in the Bible, is the story of the Israelites in the wilderness.
Oh, wow.
And if I may, just for a moment, just kind of talk about what was opening, what my eyes were being opened to in that story. So a lot of us know, as the Israelites, they leave Egypt, they're traveling across the desert to get to the Promised Land, and God guides them in His goodness. He guides them with a cloud by day, and then this pillar of fire by night. And while that's amazing, like, God shows up, He's going to guide us. What always frustrated me was, like, why didn't God just show them the Promised Land?
Wow.
You know, like, why didn't He just show them where they were going? Like, he's God, so He could have done it if He wanted.
So true.
And He's done it before. Like, he told Abraham, go to this country. He didn't have to give Abraham a cloud. He's just like, go here. And as I was turning over that question in my mind, my eyes were open to this idea that God didn't tell them where the Promised Land was or how they were going to get there. He put the cloud in between them and the Promised Land.
Wow.
He put the fire in between them and the Promised Land, because the Promised Land was actually never the point.
Wow.
The point of the story is for them to learn how to trust the cloud.
What?
For them to learn how to follow the fire,
preach.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, to tie it back to identity, it's like that Promised Land, or that thing that you, what if the whole point of being a Christian is not what God's going to give you or what God's even going to teach you, but what if the whole point is that the God of the universe, who created all of this, also created you and actually wants to be present with you.
That's beautiful.
And for me, that reminder of, like, that's actually my identity, someone who was created in the image of God to be with God and to partner with Him. That's like, come on.
That's huge.
So I don't know if that's helpful for anybody, but that's been helpful for me.
Hey, man, that's really helpful. That's really good. And it really goes back to God's heart for us and wanting us to be so focused and fixed on Him rather than that next thing.
Or that next step.
Next step. And I found, bro, it's crazy because I talked a little bit about it, but Jesus Himself said, what does it profit a man to gain everything, like the whole world, but yet lose his soul? He wants us to be near to Him, love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that's so encouraging, fam.
That's good. That's good.
So let's get to life verse.
All right.
Life verse, my man.
All right.
What is the verse that you sort of wrap your life around, or even it could be seasonal? Right now, this season, is that verse that really hits home for you, man? Like,
For me, it's definitely been seasonal. For me, it's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make the path straight. And for me, the reason that I lean so much on that verse is, I think from the outside, we've talked about this, and I've talked about this with a lot of people here. From the outside, it can look like man, John's got this YouTube channel. Yeah. He's got it together. He kind of knows, he's so clear. He's so convicted. He knows what he's doing.
True.
You know, but the reality is I stumbled onto YouTube on accident.
Yeah.
Any sort of traveling and speaking that I've done, this was never a plan that I had, or was never like I have such a clear vision of what God is calling me to do. It's never been that. And I shared a little bit yesterday in this room that we're sitting in, like, that I was okay with that for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
It was okay for me to feel like I didn't have an exact plan or exact path. It's a little harder 5 years in.
True.
To have the humility to say, I still am not sure what it is. But the promise of Scripture is trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. And then the promise comes, and He will make the path straight.
He will make it.
He's not going to show you the whole path, perhaps.
For sure.
Because He might put that cloud there of His presence so you can learn how to be with Him and how to trust Him on that journey and for the next
cloud.
Step.
Who's in a cloud right now that's listening right
and
now?
And here's the thing, and this is coming to mind right now. Oftentimes we think the cloud, the fog, is the confusion.
Yeah.
We think it's the thing blocking us. We think it's the thing that we're lost in.
Wow.
But what if that's actually the presence of God?
Wow.
Training you and refining you and teaching you to trust.
So good. So good. I love that. Walk by faith and not by sight.
That's true, man.
That's so good. Oh, John, you got me over here wanting to go run around and preach to the world.
Do it.
Love it, bro. So is there anything? Well, I do want to speak about this because we got tons of millennials that's listening, even youth pastors, different people who really need to connect with your weakness, like connect with like each other weaknesses. Like, what's that one thing you're struggling with now that God, that you're sort of like literally like this is, you know, that thorn or, you know, this is something that's been, you know, tearing away at me, but God's grace is sufficient. Like, and because I think, this helps a lot on connecting because I know there's said days where I'm in my car driving, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm like, dude, he's going through the same thing I'm going through. Mm. And like, it like changes the way I even feel like. Well, like here, change the way I approach God too.
Totally.
Would you mind sharing?
Yeah. So for me, I think, and this is something I've been struggling with this weekend, not to tie everything to this weekend, but it's this idea of just like a hardness in my heart towards Christians.
Wow.
Sometimes.
Whoa, that's big.
You know? And it's not from any like deep hurt that I myself have. I definitely think it's more of a me problem. It's this sort of hardness that I've let build up over time. But I can be in environments like this, or I can be in very Christian environments, and my tendency sometimes is to step back and to judge it. Judge what's going on. And to think that I have the authority to know whose motives are pure and whose aren't, actually genuinely here trying to serve God and who's just trying to build themselves up.
I think
I have the authority to say what's right.
Got you.
This expression is real and biblical, and this expression is man-made, whatever it is. And that's just like, I think, something God's working on in me, and just sort of something that I think He sort of gave me last night as I was sitting in that room listening to people, was just two words: you're wrong. God was like, John, all the ways that you are trying to discern it, you're wrong.
Wow.
All the ways that they're doing it, they're wrong.
Yeah.
None of you are doing it perfectly.
That's so good, John.
And even though you're all wrong,
yeah,
I still love you anyway.
Wow.
Something I often pray before I get on stage is, God, would you work through my imperfect expression or through my imperfect reflection? And that's all we can ever offer.
That's all we can do, huh?
You know? And so just like being wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And being loved anyway is,
dude, I'm getting,
is a good word.
I got rocked by that. I just got rocked by that, man, because I had this little, it felt like, wall, like, I don't know who's for me, who's against me here. I don't know, you know, who's for God, who's, you know, necessarily for themselves, But it was beautiful last night to see a room full of men, you know, after just this buildup of like a lot of, it felt like pride, like we talked about that lightly, like people not really opening up and things like that. But when the nighttime hit, God showed up and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like men were on their knees praying and crying and He moved.
Yeah.
And I thank you for sharing that, bro, because I have that same struggle and I'm sure someone listening right now.
Yeah.
going through the same thing.
Yeah, so 100%. I think so.
That's a good way you put it. Have you been pumped on that, or was that straight Holy Spirit? Just no, that's a great way to put it. Where none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived, and we have to be careful the way we, see out, like try to dictate people's motives and stuff. Yeah, like that. Yeah. So good, bro. Any last words of wisdom or encouragement that you would have for the people listening before I ask where they can go find
you? So something I've been just sort of working on lately is I talked about that mantra of presence over performance. There's a few other mantras that I've just sort of been building, and just having these like platforms that I feel like I can sort of build my life on. And if I could share a few more,
that'd be great. Yes, please.
I shared one other in here yesterday, which is forward in faith.
Yeah.
For me, that's a big part of the heart of the work that I try and do, whether it's speaking, whether it's creating a YouTube video, whatever it is I'm communicating. My prayer constantly is that it would move whoever is listening, whoever is watching, it would move them forward in their faith, just like one step. And that goes for Christians, that goes for non-Christians, that goes for people of other religions, whatever.
Yes.
Because we're all on this faith journey. We're all wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all can take a step forward. And not only is it, let's take a step forward in faith, but also let's move forward with
faith.
Move forward in this feeling of faith, you know?
Come on.
So that's something I also try and apply to my life. And one that's sort of new for me, really, that I'm just sort of cultivating over these last couple of weeks is seeds before fruit. Meaning that fruit is bad, but that so many of us, we want to go to the fruit right away and pluck it.
Yeah.
But actually, we're not going to be ready for that, or it might not even be our fruit to have. We actually need to focus a little bit more on planting and cultivating those seeds so that it can grow into fruit. It's our microwave culture.
Man. Yeah, microwave culture. You're right. When you said that, I just got this picture. You said plucking away the fruit, sort of walking away with it. The problem is that fruit only lasts a moment. Like a moment. You eat it, it's done. Yeah. But if you plant a seed, you get much more fruit plus much more seeds that goes into the ground. And it just multiplies, you know. So that's really good. Microwave. Yeah, generation, but we serve a crock pot God.
Let's go. Yeah, so seeds before fruit.
What was it? Did you have another bullet point? No. It's too good.
maybe the one I'll add is you're wrong.
You're wrong. Got it.
You're wrong.
Love it, bro. So everyone who's listening, I'm telling you guys, you need to tune into John, follow John, and be blessed by his ministry. I know I've been extremely blessed again, like I was talking about, me and my wife. And yeah, so where can they find you, bro, on platform, social media, and YouTube?
Yeah, so YouTube for me, if you just search my name, John Jorgensen, or you type in just who you are, you'll get a Jesse J song, and then you'll get me.
Nice. You probably already seen him.
Yeah, like,
you'll know his face.
You might have. So there's that. Then there's my podcast. I have a podcast called The Johncast, which is a lot of just sermons and Bible teaching that I do sort of around at different churches and ministries. And then lastly, follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is probably 30% personal and then like 70% sort of just blog of thoughts like this that I'm talking about that I'm having. And that's my platform to sort of share that. So
love it. Don't you got another podcast?
We do. Oh yeah. So I should also say my wife and I, we have a podcast. It's called The Bear and the Swan.
That's the one. Yeah. Me and my wife were
And so we basically just share, like I was talking about earlier, we don't give marriage advice because we don't necessarily believe that we're in a position to do it, but we will gladly share our experience.
Nice.
Y'all, my wife is wonderful and unfiltered in the way she does it.
Love it.
And I wish I could be as just like unashamed and passionate as she is sometimes, you know. So
I gotta ask this. How'd you come up with the Bear and the Swan?
Okay,
concept?
Very good. So the Bear and the Swan is so I call my wife, her name is Erin, but I don't call her Erin. Her name is Sweet Bear.
Okay.
So I call her Sweet Bear. And her name is Erin, which when we first started dating eventually became just Air. Then it was Air Bear. Then it was the Bear.
Nice.
And then it turned into Sweet Bear.
Sweet Bear.
The only the only like animal that rhymes with John is Swan. She never calls me the Swan, but every, you know, when she is Sweet Bear, so then the Bear and the Swan.
Nice.
That's us. That's
you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking you were the Bear, she was the Swan, because she does a lot of wedding stuff.
Yes.
And you do more, you're like the macho man comes out of your mom's womb sitting up and doing push-ups.
Physically, I may be more of a bear. She's definitely more of a swan. But I'm telling you, you listen to our podcast, I'm like the delicate bird being like, I don't want to offend anybody, blah, blah. And she's like, that's stupid. Let's talk about it. So,
she's the best. I really appreciate you, bro, for spending time with me. Anytime. I do have to have you more in the future. Come on in. Super excited about your ministry, your life. You continue to charge for it, my friend. And I know we'll stay in touch. And
yes.
I'm thankful for you, bro.
So. I'm thankful for you, man. Thank you for having me on here. Thank you for all the work you're doing. And just thank you for who you are, man.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Talk to you guys soon. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.